on and play uneasy. Let's turn on every love light in the place. It's time I found myself totally surrounded in your circles. Oh, my friends, please celebrate me home. Give me a number, please celebrate me home.
News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. This is Pep Talk, Pensacola's expert panel. We are celebrating that Will Maben made it home safe and sound. Celebrate me home with Will Maben, and Angela Sherrill is here with Connell & Company Realty. Good morning, guys.
Good morning.
Good morning.
And a special guest, somebody I know, Bubba Peters, who is the Escambia County Property Appraiser. Yeah, did I get that right?
Yes, ma'am. Thank you.
Okay, very good. Me. Welcome, everybody.
Thanks for being here.
No, thank you.
Yeah,
thank
you.
It was a great time last time. I'm excited.
We try to have fun in this studio. Right?
Yes. And what's so interesting is that Bubba was preparing for a major heart surgery. And before the show last year, and then after the show, Will got to experience something
That's
similar.
Right.
So, you know.
You better not pass that on to me, y'all, now. The two of you.
I don't think it's contagious, or at least I hope it's not.
I hope not.
So,
but you both look very healthy. You both look great.
Feel
so
great.
That's
Thank
the good
you very
news.
Much.
Come
yeah.
through it stronger on the other side.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
So there is a lot to celebrate.
Okay. Absolutely. Definitely. We're into the holidays. I mean, now it's November. It's going to start. I've already seen all the decorations and stuff. So,
it's crazy.
It's also time to think about buying or selling your home, whether you're going to do it now before the end of the year, or perhaps get together with Angela or Will to think about 2026 and what's coming up. Plenty of time to get prepared. So I'm going to turn it over to y'all, because I know you brought Bubba in for a reason, and we got lots to talk about this morning. Wow. And if you have a question, real quick, our number, this is our expert panel, and our number to ask a question, 850-437-1620.
Awesome. Thank you. Good morning. Happy Thursday, everybody.
Happy Thursday. I have a little mic issue here.
I just got a little coaching.
I just got to get close to it so we can hear you.
I've got to start by saying I missed how beautiful the Pensacola is. And just that drive over the bay, that blue water sparkling at me. I just spent some time in the desert and Grand Canyon.
Where were you?
Flagstaff and then into Vegas.
Wow.
Right?
So you just, did you tell me you just spent 18 hours getting here?
Well, I left last night at 8 p.m.
Oh, wow.
And then I had enough time to come to our beautiful airport, by the way. What a great spot. And I spent some time in a bunch of different airports, and man, it felt good just to be at home. But yeah, Vegas, and then the problem is it's some of the most beautiful landscape in the U.S., but it's gray and orange and brown.
Yeah.
Are you kidding? Really?
Gray.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then I got back here and just flying in, you see the greens and the blues and what a fantastic place we live in.
Oh, it's gorgeous.
As I was driving here, I thought to myself, this is home and I can't be bought. I'll never leave.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Feel the same way?
Right.
Feel the same way?
Bubba, thank you for being here.
No, Will, thank you all for having me again. I greatly appreciate it.
Well, why don't you tell us, I think we just need to go ahead and jump into it, but I would like for you to tell the listeners out there a little bit about yourself and the transition that you have made within the Office of Property Appraiser.
Absolutely. Thank you, Angela. So, of course, I've been with the property appraiser for 23 years. I was Mr. Jones, Chris Jones, the previous property appraiser's chief deputy for 8 of those 23 years. Pretty much came up on the commercial value side of our organization. So I have a lot of experience on the value side, which is, of course, the most hotly contested, if you will, topic this year in the legislature. And we'll definitely get to that. A couple things that we did this year, we just continue to work on transparency. I know that is kind of been the thing for local, state, and federal government is trying to be as transparent as possible. So this year I did go with placing the trim notices online,
right,
so everyone can see their trim notices.
It's super helpful.
Absolutely, especially for the realtors, closing agents that are trying to find that information. Used to, you had to go to the tax collector's website, so you'd have to navigate from hours and then go to there. So now it's all available online. We now have all exemptions will be allowed to be applied for online this year, including your charitable and your fraternal type of exemptions, as well as all of your personal exemptions, whether it be homestead, senior, disabled veterans, widow. All those will be allowed to be applied for online for the convenience, you know, of the taxpayer.
Is that new this year, Bubba?
So almost all of the personal exemptions the last couple years have been allowed to be applied for online, but we're just revamping it and trying to make it, again, as accommodating as possible for the taxpayer. Trying to make it where you can do it at the confines of your home and the comforts of your home. We also will have a new website that we'll be rolling out towards the first of the year, maybe the first quarter. We get a lot of compliments on the functionality of our website.
Mm-hmm.
It's very archaic looking. It was developed in like 2008. So
it doesn't have to be that long. I mean, things are changing so quickly. You could have put it on last year and it would be archaic in a year.
It certainly is archaic. But the biggest thing we want to do is keep the functionality and add some content, you know, and again, make it to where it's more beneficial and convenient for the taxpayer to use and navigate. And then the last thing we also did, we do have, believe it or not, a social media presence.
An
Instagram and a Facebook page, primarily to try to get the word out. If we're going to be closed, if there's a deadline, primarily, the homestead deadline is going to be coming up in March. Tax bills just went out last week. So we're just trying to make sure that we're reaching all, all the people that are out there, whether they read print or they get on social media. Of course, social media is the primary way to reach people. And so we're trying to make sure that we're being very direct in that approach.
For someone maybe that's buying a home for the first time, can you talk a little bit about what does the homestead exemption mean? Because I think for some, you hear it all the time, but what is that exactly? Especially for someone that's buying a home for the first time.
Yes, ma'am. Meg, thank you very much for asking that question. So the homestead exemption, of course, is exemption that you can get. You apply, of course, through our office or online or on our website. You have to own and use that home as your primary residence as of January the 1st.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the two keys. And then after that, you'll come to our office or you'll go online and you'll provide some information to essentially verify the ownership and your residency there. And what it does, it immediately knocks off $50,000 essentially from your assessed, which is about $700 for your actual taxes.
That works for me.
Absolutely. But where the biggest benefit is what's considered capping, to where as a market value moves. So we basically have three values that we have to track. The market value, which flows with the market,
right,
20% up, 10% down, whatever. We have to adjust those numbers based on the actual market data. Then you have your assessed value, which is that value that's capped. So if you were essentially at 1 year, was at $100,000 and your market was at $100,000, your homestead, the max that assessed value can go up is 3%. Or the CPI, the Consumer Price Index, which measures inflation, whichever the lesser of those two. So if you have a $100,000 home and it increases to $120,000 1 year, the max at your assessed value, which is really your taxable, getting into your taxable value, is 3%.
So 103.
Right.
Yeah, 100.
So you're protected.
Okay.
So you start gaining. So that in that particular year, you gain $17,000 of what's considered Save Our Homes value, which is also allowed to be ported now from one home to another when you do move. So that's the greatest benefit of the homestead is a capping. And what it really does is it rewards longevity for living in the state of Florida.
Is that something you have to apply for every year or just when you first purchase the home? Or
so you initially apply the year that you purchase the home, and it automatically renews. Now, we do send out every January what's considered a homestead receipt. It will have all the exemptions that you have on your account. And so if something has changed in your life, let's just say you were a widow and you got remarried, something like that, you would want to write in and say, hey, I'm no longer a widow, or hey, I'm a senior now. I need to apply for senior homestead. Do I apply? And of course, there is an income limit to that exemption. But we send out those receipts, and if something has changed, it's your opportunity to let us know that something's changed. Otherwise, you do nothing, and it continues to roll forward each year.
No, that's great. So interesting.
It's also great for our veterans.
Oh, absolutely.
And we are a military town.
Right. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Probably.
Yes.
For
numerous
sure.
exemptions for veterans, typically primarily geared towards disabled veterans, along with we do have some exemptions for active duty. If the military assigns you away from your home. There's some exemptions there that will help you with your taxes, also even possibly get a refund. So.
Yeah. Okay. Talking with Bubba Peters. He's a Scammon County property appraiser with our friends from Connell & Company, Angela Sherrill and Will Maben. And if you have a question, you can text it in to Pep Talk at 850-437-1620. And we do have a question. How does the portability work?
Oh, that is a great question.
And maybe you need to start by explaining what portability is.
Yeah, so absolutely. In 2009, we voters, we elected to allow for portability to where, as the example I used earlier, trying to keep it as simple as possible, you have a $100,000 home and you see the market go up 20%, which was not unusual just 2 or 3 years ago.
Right.
So you saw the market go up numerous years at 15 to 20 to 25%. So that $100,000 example that I used, your market value, it goes up to 120 1 year. Then the next year it goes up, and trying to keep it simple, it goes up another 20%. So now you're somewhere around 140, 145 in 2 years.
Right.
Your assessed value based on that homestead exemption and the capping, it can only go up that 3% or the CPI. So we'll say the 3%. So the first year, as Will said, it went up to 103. So you have $17,000 between that 120 and the 103.
Okay.
You have 17,000. Then the next year it goes up, let's say another 20,000.
106,900.
Yeah. So now you're sitting there, 106,900, right, as Will, being the mathematician that he is.
Yeah, he's quick there,
yeah,
buddy.
Right. So you're looking at around, $35,000 worth of tax savings. And that tax saving goes towards your local taxes. It does not apply to school. Mm-hmm. And of course, we'll get into that when we talk about the proposals that are out there. It does not apply to school, but it does apply to your local taxes. And so that tax break, you're now allowed to take it with you. So if you were to move into a home that was now $200,000, that's going up in value, you're allowed
because
to
because you had a great realtor, too.
That's right.
Yeah.
Okay.
You're
able, forget that.
You're able to take that full dollar for dollar savings with you. So you get to take, so you started at $200,000 because every time you buy a home, it resets to market.
Right.
Okay.
So it goes to that $200,000. You're immediately allowed to bring over, let's just say $35,000 to make it easy.
Yeah.
You bring over that 130 or that 35, and now you're starting at, with your assessed value, $165,000 as opposed to $200,000.
Okay.
So that $35,000 with a millage rate, you could be looking at $200-$400 in your actual taxes immediately.
Wow.
Your savings. So,
okay.
And so it just perpetuates.
So that's the portability?
That's the portability. You're able to bring that value with you. If you go down in a lesser home, essentially you get to take the percentage. So if you were saving 20% on your value, you're able to take that 20% down with you. So it's dollar for dollar if you go up in value, and the percentage off if you go down.
That's fantastic.
It really is.
Downsizing.
Yes, no kidding.
And we do have a lot of retired military here that do need to downsize. And Angela and I, we specialize in that. And please feel free to reach out to us. You can reach me, Will Maben, at 850-261-7020.
And you can reach me, Angela Sherrill, at 850-292-3165.
Okay, and we have another question that just came in on the text line. So how soon do you have to qualify again for homestead if you sold your primary residence?
Okay, so if you sell your residence, let's say you sold it in 2025,
using
Will or Angela.
there you go.
Well, and I would have told them that all they have to do is establish the new residence, and by January 1
That's right.
of the new year, then if you bought through me, I would send a letter every year to remind you to make sure you're homesteaded. But that's when it needs to be done and has to be filed by the 31st of March, correct?
So, yeah. So, well, it's actually the first,
the first of March.
But yes,
okay,
that's exactly correct. So if you sold your home in 25 and repurchased a home in 25 and you were in it as your primary residence as of January 1st, so December 31st, you laid your head down at that residence, that was your primary residence, you would be, you would qualify for that 2026 homestead exemption. And
gotcha.
Then you would have all the way until March 1st, which this year, just to make sure everyone knows, March 1st falls on Sunday.
Oh, okay.
So you do get that extra day. It does go to March the 2nd.
Oh,
so
good. That is okay. Very important. I thought you could tell me I have to do it Friday, but okay. Yeah. So it's
no,
okay.
We,
got the
we're going to give you that extra day for
bonuses
sure.
Bonuses all around.
Absolutely. Yeah. And we do allow for year-round homestead filing. So please do not wait. If you purchase your home in February, you do not have to wait until January of the next year. You can pre-file. We accept pre-files for the 2026 or for the next year. Year round. So I know that it's preached at closing.
Right.
Yeah.
But since that is collected in arrears, now if we sold in 2026, which is coming up, and my seller sold in January, bought in January, runs down in files, the 2026, there's nothing we could do about the 2026 taxes. We would kind of be based off of the seller's taxes on that year.
That is absolutely correct. And that is one of the things that can really hit people in the pocketbook almost 2 years in the rear. They
okay,
buy the home. And,
say this again. Repeat what you just said. Okay, well, I was trying to follow, but I just want to.
One more time. You know, working with an expert, you do learn these things. Mm-hmm. And we bring value to the table. And that's kind of what Angela and I do. So what I use as an example is my customer, mm-hmm. my client is the seller. Okay.
He, right.
And we'll say he for the sake of arguing here. He sold in January. He also needed a house, so he bought in January.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so he had all of his homesteads ready to go, but it's set up. So the buyer of his house is going to take advantage of where he was in the tax break for the 2026 year. Him, the new buyer, mm-hmm. would be on whatever seller's taxes there were for the 2026 year.
I see.
So it does get a little confusing, and that's why
right.
I always recommend having an expert on hand. And
right.
Hey, we even have friends.
Absolutely. But contact me anytime to make
so,
sure that we get that.
Okay, so let's talk about if you're a buyer that has homesteaded their property, put their property up for sale in 2025.
So you're a seller.
So you're a seller.
Okay.
Okay, as well. So they are able to, they don't sell their house until 2026,
mm-hmm. okay.
but they buy a new house.
And establish the residence.
And is there portability?
Absolutely. Yeah. So if
so explain that scenario, because a lot of buyers have homesteaded their
right.
properties. And so they are fully, they're doing the next step. They're buying that next house.
Right.
Well, and what do you have to do to establish residency?
So to establish residency, it truly has to be your primary residence as of December 31st. And the ways that you would show that or prove that it's your primary residence is one thing you'd want to do is get your address changed on your license.
Right.
Yeah.
Of course, you will have bills coming, you know, to that new address, whether it be your electrical, any type of utility
right.
bill, credit card bills, bank statements, things like that will be coming to
right.
That new address. So that's a really good way to establish.
Well, and I guess the reason why I wanted you to explain that is you go December 31st, it takes time to establish yourself in a new residence. That might not happen for the immediate next year.
Sure. So if you were to close on, you know, December 31st,
mm-hmm.
You know, you're going to have some documents in place that will show
at least
that it's
an
your
Alta.
Residence. And we want you to have your homestead.
Oh, yeah.
And so we're going to, you know, we're going to give the discretion, mm-hmm. you know, to the taxpayer. So in your scenario, you sold in 25, you bought in 25, you would have your 25 exemption.
Right.
Because you had it January 1 of 25,
mm-hmm.
and then you would be eligible in 2026 to essentially reestablish the new exemption. And that's one thing that I know you preach as realtors, as professionals, when you go to your closings and to your clients, that once you have established your homestead in the state of Florida and you go and buy a new home, it does not automatically transfer.
Right.
You have to reestablish that homestead. You have to reapply. there's so much going on in those closings. You're essentially signing the largest, you know, debt note that you've ever signed
you
in your life.
You feel like you're signing your life away.
Right. Yes. And it's an hour long or more. And you just want to make sure that you get everything done. And you hear this term homestead. And many people think.
I call that Tuesday.
Yeah. many people think that they have established their homestead during their closing. Mm-hmm. And they just don't know because they're either first-time homebuyers, out of town, out of state. So that is one of the things that I want to make sure that we stress is that you do have to reestablish your homestead each time that you establish a new residency.
So where can you go to find out if someone's listening going, gee, I don't know if I am or not, where would they go to find that out?
So the first thing you'd want to do is call our office. Mm-hmm. That is always the first thing I would want you to do.
That's the Escambia County Property Appraiser's Office.
Correct. Yes, okay. Ma'am. And the reason why I say call our office is because we could have that scenario that Angela brought up where there is a previous homestead showing on the account that you moved in. Now, we change ownership records year-round. Mm-hmm. So within 30 days, typically, of you closing, we're going to have your new ownership on that new account. However, that homestead, it's going to be from the previous or most recent certified tax roll. So we certify the tax roll in July.
Right.
So all of those homesteads that's on people's accounts, if you go to navigate to our website, mm-hmm. and you're looking at that account, which is now yours, which is someone else's, it has homestead on it. Well, mm-hmm. that homestead, be careful, could actually be the homestead of the previous owners.
I see. Okay.
So that's why I always say,
what I was talking about.
Yeah, yes, please, exactly. please call our office, email our office. We want to make sure that you get it. And many times, like I said, you think you applied for it. You thought that was something that you did. Mm-hmm. You buy in February and now here it is March. You're like, man, I think I applied. Maybe you didn't. Mm-hmm. Always call, always check. Hey, look, if you missed the deadline, you'll get your trim notice also in August. you'll be able to see, hey, oh my goodness, the taxes went way up and I don't see an exemption here. That's your opportunity to also call us. We will work with you all the way up until the time that we certify the tax roll to the tax collector, which is around the 1st of October into September. Once that date comes, if you haven't applied, unfortunately, the ship has sailed for that year.
Right. Mm-hmm. Well, okay, so I have had a customer who did not apply for homestead. I mean, you know, her mother finally went down and filed for her.
Oh, gosh.
Wow. Crazy. But it was 2 years after she bought the home.
Yep. You can still file. So if you don't have it,
but
please still
come. It's at the established value.
That is correct. Yes, ma'am. It continues. If there is no homestead, no protection on it, it continues to increase, you know, based on what that capping mechanism is. And for non-homestead, it's 10%. So there still is a capping mechanism, but you do start losing out on a lot. That capping and portability opportunity.
Well, let's talk about that. With our market going up 4.5% on average for the last 10 years. Do we need a break?
No. Go ahead.
Going up 10%. At what point? At what point is that lopsided? And do we need to be talking about, hey, look, you've got this listed at $300,000. It's really a $200,000. House.
Anytime that you have any
upside
question
down
regarding our assessments, contact our office, please. That is your opportunity.
What's that number, Bubba?
850-434-2735.
And Angela.
Go ahead. We got Will and Angela here from Connell & Company. And here's the good news. We're coming back after the news for another half hour with a property appraiser. If you've got questions, text us in so we can get to them. 850-437-1620. This is Pep Talk. We will be back with Connell & Company right after the news. Good morning. This is Pep Talk, Pensacola's expert panel with Meg. And we sure do have the experts in the house this morning as we're talking about property taxes, real estate, because we've got Connell & Company here, great real estate company, with their guest, Bubba Peters, who's the Escambia County Property Appraiser. But first, how do we reach you, Angela?
You can reach me directly at 850-292-3165, or you can email me at gonoles@att.net. And yes, we did win last week.
I know, Angela Sherrill. Okay, and Will Maben?
Will Maben with Connell & Company Realty, 850-261-7020, or at willmaben.com.
Okay, let's finish up that question we were addressing before the break.
So I guess my question is, we've seen an average increase over the past several years of about a 4.5%. Now, we've seen big years where it was 10 and 15. How does that, if you're not homesteaded, how does that adjustment look for you?
Okay. Great question, because a lot of the information out there doesn't really explain how we arrive at our appraisals and how, you know, how often. We reappraise property every year, January 1. So if the property values increase and the market suggests a 10% increase, you will see roughly a 10% increase in my market value, as well as if there is a 10% decrease, you will see the same. Now, we trail the market. So as the market goes down, it goes down throughout the year.
So how does that look for homesteaded properties?
So homesteaded properties, you will see a decrease in your market.
Okay.
Here's where it gets really tricky, and this is not a property appraiser issue. This is a legislative issue. It is in the statute that if you have that Save Our Homes value we talked about, so you have that $100,000 home, and it's now market value $120,000. If the market value, let's say that year it goes down to $110,000, okay, you still have $10,000 from that $100,000 to the $110,000 of portability. There is a rule that's called the recapture rule. And it will continue. Your assessed value will continue to go up, that 3% or the CPI, until that your market value and your assessed value are equal. We had a lot of questions this year where our property value stayed about stagnant on our tax roll, on the values that I put out. They were roughly the same as they were last year. Mm-hmm. But we had many people who experienced a 3 or 4 or even a 5% increase in their actual taxes, because their assessed value went up that 3%. And then you also had some taxing authorities who had proposed some higher millage rates,
right. Mm-hmm.
Which are the
board.
Actual taxing rate.
Right.
Children's Trust, school board.
Right.
The state school board increased considerably. So when just because your assess is protected does not mean that your taxes are protected.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, that brings us to a question that we got from our listener. And it's always interesting when he starts out with Mr. Peters.
Bubba,
are you responsible for the high millage rates in Escambia County, or is that a county commission or city council responsibility for the race? And or do you just follow the numbers that they give you?
Oh, wow. So to be as frank and honest as possible, I am responsible for the appraisals only. So if I were to cut, if the market value were to decrease by 50%, I am going to show a 50% decrease. However, that does not mean that your taxes will go down 50%, because the taxing authority could increase that millage to offset that loss in revenue that they're going to experience. I could also increase the value based on market data by 20%. And the taxing authority could choose to reduce the millage rate and you not see a dime more in taxes. So, no, I do not have any control over the actual millage rate, which is also known as the tax rate. That is the actual taxing authorities. All I do, I have two responsibilities. I appraise property and I administer exemptions.
Okay. Very clear. Thank you. Okay, thank you for that question. One more here, this interesting topic that I've been hearing a lot about recently. Is there a true problem with the theft of title? How do we keep that from happening in our homes in Pensacola, Florida?
Great question. So there is a mechanism that the Honorable Pam Childers has on her site, on the clerk's website. You also can get to that link via our website. It protects, or shall I say, it notifies you if there's a deed or any type of ownership change filed with her office there in public records. And so there you can go to our website and navigate to the link, or you can go to the clerk's website. There's a link that will essentially you can put in any alias that you may have. For example, I'm Gary Peters Jr. or Gary D. Peters Jr. or Gary Peters. I can put all of those different ones in, Gary Bubba Peters, whatever you want. I can put all those in, and if anyone tries to file any type of ownership change in my name, I will be notified so that I can quickly jump on that, contact, you know, local law enforcement, do whatever I have to do to hopefully, you know, head that off.
Okay, great. This is Pep Talk with Pensacola's expert panel, and we have Connell and Company sponsoring this hour, which has been so interesting because we have Bubba Peters here, who's the Escambia County property tax appraiser. But let's talk a bit about some of these proposals we're hearing about, too. I think you said there's only eight?
Only, well.
Legislative proposals. So let's touch on that because we've got a few minutes left, so we can certainly cover quite a few.
Right.
I've been hearing, ooh, we're going to get rid of property tax. What does that look like?
So at the end of the day, right now, there are eight proposals. Those are all currently from the House. So the Senate nor the governor has given their proposals yet or made those public. But currently the eight essentially would only affect the local taxes. Everything that they say has the term non-school taxes. So just to be clear, your tax bill is made up of about 40% school tax. So the other 60% would be local taxes. There's one proposal that actually eliminates all local taxes, and these are all on homesteaded properties only. So non-homesteaded, second homes, rentals, commercial property, this is not affected. It's strictly homestead properties. So there's one proposal that says all local taxes, which again exempts out the school portion, which is about 40%. There's also one that immediately reduces your assessed value by 25%. Wow. That again would reduce your local taxes by 25%. There's also the removing of the portability limit. Right now, currently, the portability limit is $500,000. Uh-huh. There's some dangers in that because you could have someone that lives currently in Miami mm-hmm. that has a $2 million home with $1 million worth of portability. They move up here to beautiful Pensacola and buy a $1 million home,
and
they exempt theirs completely off
wow.
on the local side.
Wow.
So there's just some things that they're looking at. They're trying. Mm-hmm. I believe wholeheartedly that it is time and has been time for quite a while. For some property tax reform in mm-hmm. the state of Florida.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that the efforts are going to be, you know, be in good intentions.
Mm-hmm.
I do believe that there's going to be something, if not multiple proposals on the ballot come November of 2026 that will take effect of 2027. One of the other ones is phasing out homestead properties as far as local taxes. Again, every time I say this, I want to make sure it's very clear. This does not affect school. That would phase out the local taxes over a 10-year period, and they would start by adding $100,000 to the homestead. So essentially, a $400,000 home would be phased out over two or three, maybe 4 years, just depending on what their portability looks like. But essentially, over that 10-year period, phasing it all out. So there's a three or four more. One of the ones that also is gaining some traction is as eliminating the income limit for the 65 and older exemption, which I think is a great idea. Right now it's $37,000, which is essentially, two people living on Social Security. It's mm-hmm. about the only way that you could get that exemption.
Right.
So anyone that has over $37,000 worth of AGI income, they're penalized,
right,
and do not get that exemption. So there's definitely some traction. It's been the hot button topic this year. So I'm hoping to see some really good proposals come out of the Senate as well as the governor. But as of right now, everything is geared towards local taxes. There was that misnomer out there that it was going to eliminate all property taxes on homestead. Actually, it was originally on all property tax. That's about a $60 billion lift.
I was going to say, yeah.
The state, their budget is $115 billion. Mm-hmm. So we'd have to try to find over 50% of their budget somewhere, and we just don't have the revenue source to do so. So, it does provide a lot of the services for what we see as local.
But what about the fire?
I was going to say fire and police and all that.
Yeah, fire and police.
So,
because they're just, to me, in my mind, very valuable.
Well, and fire, for example, is a non-ad valorem tax.
Okay.
We did see that get adjusted this year.
Okay.
That is a non-ad valorem. It is not tied to your property value. However, the sheriff's budget of, roughly 90 to 100 million is tied directly to the ad valorem taxes. I will say that in the county, total collected ad valorem tax is around 500 million. Of that, 250 million of that is county.
Right.
About 200 million of that, a little less than 200 million, is school. Mm-hmm. And then the remainder is your additional taxing authorities, like your city, your DIB, your children's trust. Those type of taxing authorities would make up the remainder of that. So,
mm-hmm. So these proposals are in the legislature now. Is that correct? Or is there somewhere we can go to find out more about that?
Yeah, so I believe you can go to the Florida State House of Representatives, go to their website, and you will be able to sort by property tax proposals. Mm-hmm. There's some actual House joint resolutions. But said, there's eight of them. Looking to see how they kind of track through. They do have an early session this year, I believe, beginning in January, typically session 60 days.
Right.
So hopefully around March or April, we'll have a direction, if mm-hmm. you will, as to what the property tax situation is going to look like in the state of Florida.
And we do have an election cycle in 2026. I just went to a voter poll workers. We need poll workers, folks. So that's my other job I do. It's not volunteer. You do. It's a paid volunteer thing. But anyway, my one question to you, Bubba, is do the rest of the county property appraisers, do you all get together and help come up with ways of educating your public about these different proposals and
so
such?
That's a really sticky question, being the property appraiser. And I'll be honest, if someone comes at me and asks for my opinion, I'll give them opinion based on my knowledge, mm-hmm. but also as a taxpayer and
right.
a citizen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Anything that, there's the Property Appraiser Association of Florida, that's all 67 property appraisers. And we, of course, do meet. But as far as giving unsolicited,
right.
Suggestions, we're mm-hmm. not going to do that because it does come across as being self-serving, and
sure.
that is, again, it's because of the lack of understanding of our role. My role is not taxes. My role is to appraise your property.
Right.
What they do with those appraisals is strictly up to the taxing authority. So if it comes from me or our association, it does seem self-serving, self-preservation mm-hmm. type. So we're in the background, and we're going to do whatever the legislators and what the voters vote on mm-hmm. in November of 2026,
right.
we're going to do what they want. And
right.
I'm a voter. Mm-hmm. And so I'm going to have my opportunity. And so, yeah, I'm going to do, as your property appraiser, I'm going to do what you vote for.
Right.
And, you know, where the chips fall on the taxing side, that's up to those that are providing those services.
So it sounds like you're more of a facilitator that follows the mandates.
Meg, that is the best way that I've heard it put. I am truly the facilitator of that mandate. Just the same thing with any exemption that's available. I'm the good guy. I get to mm-hmm. give you that exemption to reduce your tax burden. So, yeah, wherever the taxes fall, that's going to be up to the taxing authorities to make that up
mm-hmm.
or whatever they decide to do with services. So,
well, but he is also an expert. And so I
yes.
do value his opinion.
Yeah,
and
right.
We talk about the use of experts in their field, and being an expert in real estate, there are so many moving parts.
Yes.
it's great to have a good agent that knows what they're doing.
Right.
Or has the context to answer questions should you need them. And I can't say enough. Reach out to me. My name's Will Maben with Cannell & Company Realty. You can reach me at 850-261-7020.
And I'm Angela Sherrill, and you can reach out to me directly at 850-292-3165.
And I'm Meg with Pep Talk, and if you have a question about this conversation, because I'm sure there are a lot of questions, 850-437-1620. We've still got some time.
Well, this is a hot topic.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
absolutely.
It is.
And pay attention. I mean, that's what I would encourage people to do, because there's so much misinformation out there.
Right.
Do you have a good source, Bubba, where people can get the facts? Because you mentioned about the Florida legislature. You can find out what the proposals are. But then there's this spin on all the proposals.
There's
how do you,
yeah.
It depends on who's writing the article.
Right. Yeah, how can we figure out what's
really
happening?
In their opinion.
Well,
absolutely.
Yeah. The ad valorem, understanding the definition, you know, what's the difference between an ad valorem tax and non-ad valorem?
Well, that's right. We could answer that question this morning.
Yeah, I mean, so a non-ad valorem is something that's passed by the taxing authority that is not tied whatsoever to your property value. Ad valorem is Latin for according to value. So that's the reason why you hear the term ad valorem taxes, because it is according to the value of whatever it might be. Mm-hmm. For our purposes, it's real estate.
That's right, yeah.
So, but yeah, I'll just, as far as the legislative proposals, our role is always going to be to facilitate what the voters vote in. Mm-hmm. We are not giving any type of advice. I have not been contacted for my opinion. And we're going to stand.
But you'd be a good one.
I was going to say, somebody might get smart. You know,
and
for the record, we did.
You know, I appreciate it. We're going to stand in our role, and we're going to swim in our lane.
Yeah.
And we're absolutely not wanting to persuade or do anything. But if you ask me the question, I'm going to be honest and tell you the truth. You know, when it comes down to the taxes, again, it's going to be strictly up to those taxing authorities and the services they provide, what they need to cut, what they decide to cut. If they decide to raise another fee somewhere else, that's strictly up to them. It is not.
And
that is a lane that I'm not swimming in.
Yeah. And that's why we should all pay attention as we're going forward, because in the 2026 election, there are going to be a lot of things probably on the ballot at point.
There's definitely
you really want to pay attention and get informed. Find out what's going to be in your best interest so you can vote for that.
And so I will say that the understanding or my understanding of these proposals is that they are actually going to be in somewhat plain language. It's not going to be the lawyer speak that we're so used to seeing in these bills, or they're going to attach additional bills where it ends up they're wanting it to be killed. It's my understanding they're going to put each proposal out separately. There's going to be some good language, plain language that, you know, the layman can understand, because this is a very, very difficult topic to understand.
Right.
It just is. And so I think that's the goal of the legislator. I think it's the intent. Is going to be you know, spot on, and I think that we're going to see some type of tax reform. Which, again, 1934, the first $5,000 homestead exemption was enacted, and that was the median house price in 1934 was $5,000.
Wow!
We have lagged way behind the curve,
just a little bit.
So you know, I think that there's definitely some good things coming down the pike. I'm just here to facilitate it.
And thank you so much for being here.
I know.
Yeah, it really is.
I want to take a minute and just talk about our market. We're in beautiful Pensacola. It's an exciting time out there.
Yes.
Usually a little slower around the holiday season, but spring's coming.
Yeah, spring is coming. And speaking of that, I have a new listing coming in the Whisper Way subdivision off of Scenic Highway. It's really going to be a great house. It's a pool home. So be looking for that. It'll be on the Cannell & Company buysellcannell.com website. It will be on Pensacola MLS. It will be available to all realtors starting Monday.
Excellent. Just in time for the holidays.
Exciting.
You get moved in by January.
Exactly.
Right. Have Thanksgiving in your home. Huh?
That's right. Yeah. That's
and
right.
Get that homestead for next year.
Yes.
There you
sure.
go. There you go.
So,
so a lot of exciting things going on. And we did see an ease in interest rates again.
Yes, we did.
As we've been talking about the whole year and talking about when they'll come. And, you know, the biggest projection is still in May.
Where are we now?
Last number I saw was low fives, which, you know, it depends on who you use.
But shop your rate.
About 5.25 is the average going
That's
right
not
now.
Bad.
But
no.
But I've seen them advertised at 4.99.
Yeah. But please don't wait. Please don't wait, because, you know, if you're constantly chasing the rate, you're going to miss out on a lot of really great homes.
Right. And you marry the home and date the rate.
Yes, exactly.
All these expressions.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, you know, I can't say enough. Obviously, Will and I would love for you to use, you know, us.
But really, we want you to get a professional.
Yeah. Want you to get a professional.
And we would love to be that person.
Yes, we are those people.
Right.
So, and you can reach me directly at 850-292-3165.
And you can reach me, Will Maben, with Cannell & Company Realty at 850-261-7020 or at willmaben.com.
And then there's buysellcanal.com. Yes.
And buysellcanal.com.
There you go. And we've had the pleasure of having Bubba Peters here as our Escambia County property appraiser. So someone listening this morning may have more questions than answers. You've done a beautiful job of answering a lot of the questions. But if someone needed to reach out to your office, what's the best way to do that? You mentioned it earlier, but just to repeat in case someone just joined us.
Sure. We do have two offices, one downtown and one in Molino, there at the old Molino School next to the tax collector. Also, please call us at 850-434-2735. Again, 850-434-2735. And if I could just add one thing.
We've got a couple minutes here.
It's November, November the 6th. Please make sure that you get your homestead filed by March the 2nd of this next year. So just want to make sure I put that plug out there for sure.
Right.
And all of my people, I will be mailing you letters.
Yes. And I want you to know, I've called Bubba. They answer the phone at their office.
You're going to get a person.
That's awesome.
It is so good.
That is the one thing I will say.
That is worth mentioning.
Yeah, a human being is going to answer the phone and get you to someone. If we can't answer the question, we will direct you to someone that can. So anytime you want to speak with someone, call our office, and you are going to get a human on the phone. And if we cannot answer the question by the end of that business day, we will call you back and let you know that it is still in the queue, that we haven't forgotten about you.
And so that's great.
And if you're having trouble, you do have professionals on your side. you got Will Maben and Angela Sherrill that we can also call them.
Yes, for sure. And Bubba even emails.
Oh, my goodness. Stop.
Coming into the 21st century.
Yes, wow, ma'am. That's exciting. Well, I'm looking forward to the new design of the website, too.
Thank you very much. Yeah, excited to launch it, that's for sure. So I think it's going to be of extreme benefit to realtors, you know, insurance agents, all the folks that use our website from a professional level, but also the taxpayer. We want to make sure, again, that we are as transparent as possible and provide as much information as possible on our website. And if you do have to call and get a hold of us, we're always there.
All right. What's that website?
It's escpa.org.
All right. escpa.org. Angela? Will?
Angela Sherrill, 850-292-3165. Call me.
Will Maben with Cannell & Company Realty, 850-261-7020 or at willmaben.com.
Thank you all so much. What a great pep talk shows with our experts here. Remember today, be kind to yourself, gentle with others, and love right now.